So here is our bonus all-age celebration word this morning. And the word that I would like to encourage us and bring us and challenge us with this morning is this. It's not working. That's not working. We've lost projector. That's going to be challenging because otherwise you're all going to be looking at my iPad for the pictures and the slides. Okay. Oh, there is a screen at the back. Everyone, you there you go. Well, at the relevant points, I will be pointing you towards the back to look at the screen. Okay. It's a game that we're playing this morning, all right? It's the look at the screen at the back game. So here's my question. So what? So where? And now, so what may be the kind of phrase that if you have children, you may have heard before. If you've ever said, you know, something that you would like to see happen or something that you think should be a certain way, you may have heard your children say, so what? And if you want to see a picture of a grumpy cat pretending to be a teenager saying, so what? Then you can look at the back. Okay. No, still no good. We're going to have trouble with the memory verse this morning. Hey, I love a bit of chaos. Everybody up for a bit of chaos this morning? You can try one thing. Yeah. A snooker cue. Yeah, come this way. All right, I'm going to carry on. Oh, no, this is much more entertaining. Oh! Oh. This is not live on YouTube, John. Nobody's watching. It's flashing green. That's encouraging. Okay. Now get down before Chris tells us off from YouTube. Okay. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about another of the parables that Jesus taught. And we're going to be in Matthew 13. And starting in verse 3, and I'm going to read this out for you this morning. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. So when I wrote so what, which you'd have seen if it was on the board, it was written with an S-O-W, not just an S-O. So it's so what? So what? The first question I would like children to shout out all at the same time, nice and loud. What is it that the farmer is sowing?
Seed.
Okay, so we're not saying, so what? We're saying, sow seed. And so the first thing is, I want us to think about sowing seed. On the screen should be a whole load of, I've got it. Del. a whole load of pumpkin. I'm just going to say, what are the seeds on there? They're pumpkin seeds. As you can see, I'm slightly not with it. What are these seeds that the farmer is sowing? Well, were the seeds that the farmer was sowing in this story that Jesus is telling, were they pumpkin seeds? Probably not. Let's see what Jesus said. Well, he goes on and he says this. Because what is interesting about this parable, which we don't get with all of the parables, is that a bit later on, if you look down the page, remember we've talked in recent times about looking at things in context and seeing the bits around it? Further down the page, Jesus actually explains exactly what he means with this parable to his disciples. And so let's see what he says about this particular bit. He says it in verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, so who do we think the farmer is in the story? Children, you can shout out who we think the farmer might be. Anybody? Okay, young children or old children can shout out. Who might the farmer be in the story? Jesus. And often we might think about ourselves as sowing seeds. So how did Jesus' seeds that he's talking about in the story get sown? Scattered, yep. And so the picture, which is the farming language which people understood, those seeds are scattered. And what kind of seeds? We're talking about kingdom seeds. And how might kingdom seeds that aren't pumpkin seeds get scattered? The word of God. Give him a clap. So the seeds that the farmer is talking about here are seeds that we sow when we speak or we share or we live in a way that displays the word of God and the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the farmer in the story who's scattering the seeds. And we are the fruit as we receive and allow that seed to work in our lives. We're the fruit of what happens. It says this as it goes on in the story itself. As he was scattering the seed, some fell. You can. Yeah, you can catch up with me, Del, if you can. Yeah, I've gone off. Bothering with that. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Has anybody ever been to Trafalgar Square in London? Well, these days, if you go to Trafalgar Square, I believe you're not allowed to feed the pigeons. Correct. Because they became such a problem, there's so many of them, that whole thing. But when I was a child, which was long time ago, and I went to Trafalgar Square, they hadn't changed the rules yet, and you could actually buy a bag of seed and you could feed the pigeons. And Trafalgar Square was kind of famous for the pigeons, and I think maybe the statue got pooped on a little bit too much. And that became the issue. And maybe the birds got a little bit aggressive. But can you imagine if you were a farmer and you had spread all your seed out on your field, how annoying it would be if the birds came and took it away? Well, what does this mean? When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So this is what ends up being the bird seed. But the thing which is interesting about that is it didn't stop the farmer from sowing the seed in the first place. And it's really important that we understand that as we follow Jesus and as we seek to help that kingdom seed get spread on the earth, we're responsible for sharing it and spreading it, but we can't always dictate where it's going to land. And you just never know whether it might land on the soil that's going to get taken away by the bird seed or not. So we want to be sure to keep spreading that seed, but also we want to keep living out our kingdom words and our kingdom actions in whatever situation we're in. And you know what? You could look at your school class or your playground or your place of work and think, there's no way there's any point in me sharing the good news of Jesus here because nobody's going to listen. But did the farmer do that? Did the farmer look at the people around and not share his seed? No, he allowed his seed to fall even on the pathway. And so, if you drive out of Aberystwyth towards Bow Street, you'll go past the fields that belong to Aberystwyth University, where they do lots of research and lots of work with different grasses and different kind of grains. And you will see in those fields attempts to try and scare the birds away. And I would like to encourage you to become a spiritual scarecrow. Because the enemy, who's the devil, wants to take all those good words and all those good things and all the ways that we show God's love to people, and he wants to steal them straight away. But we can become spirit. Can you do your best scarecrow impression for me without punching somebody in the face? Well, that was a crow impression. We want to, and how can we do that? Well, we need to be praying for our friends, for our family, and for those people that are receiving the seed, that it will land on soil where it's not going to get snatched straight away. Lord, we pray that as we share your word and live your kingdom out, that the seed will not be snatched away from the hearts of the people that we love. Amen. Okay, the story goes on. It says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. I don't know if you studied biology at school or if you're studying it yet, or whether you've ever done an experiment where you maybe put some cress seed into a little pot with some cotton wool. But you'll see that when something grows, it doesn't just grow up. When a plant grows, it doesn't just grow up. Where else does it grow? Down. And what is it that it grows down? The roots. And the thing that we learn from this story is that the plant that grows up can only ever be as strong as the roots that it grows down. And it's really important that we make sure that we grow the right roots and that we grow deeper into the soil of who God is calling us to be. So what does that part of the story mean? This is how Jesus explains it. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, I don't know if you know the phrase flash in the pan. It kind of means something that happens quickly and then goes away. It just happens in a moment. I've did some limited research and found out it was possibly something to do with guns way back along when the gunpowder would go off in the barrel, but the bullet, there wouldn't have been bullets, it would have been balls. Musket balls. The musket balls didn't fly out. That was called a flash in the pan. It didn't actually go and fulfill its purpose. It just happened. Something happened quickly. And sometimes faith can be a little bit like that for some people. They can understand and come to know something of the truth of Jesus and be excited about it. But the moment they start getting the Mickey taken out of them, or things start getting a little bit difficult, they haven't rooted themselves, maybe through prayer and through reading the Bible and through grounding themselves in the right kind of church family. They haven't grown the roots down, so when the sun comes and it scorches it, those plants don't survive. In our children's ministries, we have seedlings planted and rooted in our youth ministry. If the seedlings are planted and rooted, when trouble and persecution come, they're not going to kill the plants. They can actually make them stronger. Because what happens is when the sun comes to scorch or the wind comes to blow, the roots will go down stronger. And the roots will be able to sustain the life of that which is above the surface. So, church, my challenge on this one is, let's pray for those roots. So many of our children that have grown up in the life of Elim Aberystwyth have had so many people praying for them, and we see the fruit of that. And we want to continue to pray for the roots, and I encourage you and ask you. We have prayer meetings for our children's ministries about once a term, once a half term. When we have those, please join with us. If you can't come to those, please put our children on your prayer list and have them as a focus that you're going to pray for. Pray for those roots to go deep. And for those who come to faith, that when they come to faith, we'll be able to have a way to make sure that there's a way that they can grow their roots deep and be discipled as they grow. Amen? Okay, then we get to a third place where the seeds fall. And it says this in verse 7. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. I am going to show you this picture. Does anybody know what this is? It's a mobile phone, but I have heard it a few times. It's a BlackBerry. I really am showing my age. Some of you don't even remember a BlackBerry phone, do you? They were kind of the big thing before iPhone. What? There was life before iPhone? There was life before iPhone. Well, the reason I'm showing you that is because I have mixed feelings about BlackBerries. We were actually out picking some BlackBerries yesterday. And we have got some BlackBerries in our garden. Woo! It's not a sign of a good gardener. Why? What do BlackBerries mean? BlackBerries grow on thorn bushes. So that means that whatever was supposed to be growing there is struggling because the blackberry bushes are growing. But hey, we get some great blackberries off it. So that's why I've got mixed feelings about blackberries. But let's see what this story means according to Jesus. Verse 22, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke that word. And they make it unfruitful. So this person may persevere in a walk of faith, but the fruitfulness is taken away for two reasons. And I think these two reasons are our biggest challenge in our culture and in our time. The worries of this life, the things that we worry about. What did Jesus say? Do not worry about the things of this life. Even the birds of the air, the Father can look after them. So don't you fixate and be worried about those things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. So we don't need to be stolen away by the worries of this life, like a thorn choking the life of the bushes around it. And the second thing is this, and for our culture, again, this is an enormous challenge. The deceitfulness of wealth. What does deceitfulness mean? What is deceit? Untrue. What's another word for something that's untrue? It's a lie. Yeah. Running after and fixating and building our life upon the wealth of this earth and earning as much money as we can, getting as much property as we can, getting as much stuff as we can, it is a lie. We live this life for about 70, maybe these days with better healthcare, a bit more, years. And as much as we can have wealth, and we are not taking that with us into the eternal life. So do not build up for yourself treasures on this earth where moth and things destroy. Build up treasures for yourself in heaven. And the deceitfulness of wealth, it is a lie which just makes us think we need this, we need that. I must have this, I must have that. BlackBerry, iPhone, sorry. So thorns are not a sign of good gardening. And those issues are particularly thorny for us, aren't they? Yes. The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. So I want to encourage everybody here, don't let your faith be choked by the worldly concerns of comfort and wealth. Don't be deceived. Some of you and me, some of us have allowed these things to stop us being fruitful at times. And that's a lie that you can't be fruitful. You can be fruitful for Jesus. Amen? So maybe for some of us it's time to do some weeding. I've got no idea how I would even begin to bring those blackberry bushes out of my garden, and I might just let them carry on making blackberries for me. But maybe some of us need to weed some of those things that are choking our fruitfulness out. But then we get to the good news. It says this in verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. What does this story mean? Well, according to Jesus, in verse 23, he explains this bit of the story by saying, the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. If we hear the word of God, that which Jesus has sown, the seeds that he's sown through his life and his ministry on earth, through the words that we've been given in Scripture, through the testimony and the word of those who have lived for Jesus and followed him through the ages ever since, if we can receive that truth and understand it, then the kingdom of God takes root in our lives. That word will help us to grow strong, and we will be those who bear fruit. So that farmer sowed the seed. Some of it was snatched away. Some of it was scorched by the sun because it didn't have the roots. Some of it was choked because it couldn't get away from the weeds and the worries that were around it. But some of it fell on good soil. And church, we are testament to that good soil because we are still some of the crop. We're still some of the fruit of what was sown and what is being sown. And now we have the opportunity. But what happens when a seed grows to full maturity? What happens when that plant grows and it becomes something else? What has to happen? Go on. It's going to die, but it does something. At some point, it is going to die. You're right. But what happens? What does the plant produce? Fruit and seed. And we are the continuing fruit and seed. And so as we grow to full maturity, we spread seed. And I remember when I became a Christian at a Bible camp called Stoneleigh. And when they did the last ever Stoneleigh, all the graphics and all the artwork for the sort of the final thing was dandelion pictures. And the idea that the conference was ending, but the fruit and the seeds are going to carry on being spread and flowing everywhere. And so I've always carried that picture with me. And we, as we grow to full maturity as plants and the seedlings of God, then we will spread the seed and we will be the seed that is flowing and continuing to spread. Amen? So we want to sow. Where do we want to sow the seed? Everywhere. Everywhere. If you are a hay fever sufferer, you will know that that stuff gets everywhere. Seeds and pollen and all that stuff, it gets everywhere. And sometimes stuff grows where it shouldn't grow. You wouldn't believe it, but out the front here in our front yard, we weeded that down to the very bare bottom of the pathway, like about 4 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago. And there they are, they're there. Those weeds are big. They've grown. They grow fast. Stuff sometimes grows. And you can spread God's kingdom through his word and through your actions wherever you are. You can be a fruitful seed spreader, sowing kingdom truth and kingdom action wherever you are. So as we go back into school this week, as we go back into our workplace tomorrow, as we go into our community, as we go to our football clubs, as we go to our gym, as we go to our social activities that we do, when we do things in our communities, whatever it is that we are doing and wherever it is that we are going, we want to be good soil for God's truth and God's word to land on. And we also want to be sowing kingdom things wherever we are, sowing the word of God, the truth of who Jesus is, and his life and the actions that would lead to. Amen?